every single day I feel
it. Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Yeah, baby, we're back. That one studio. The What Are You Made Of show. It's your boy, C-Rock in the building. Another great guest on the docket today. My man, Dean Pullman's in the house. Guys, listen, I want to keep bringing great guests to you from all different areas of life to help you become unstoppable, to live in the life of your dreams. And that starts with your mental, and then it goes all the way through your body and out to the physical. And what we're going to talk about today, I have a feeling, has to do with both. And Dean's in the house. Dean is an ERYT 200 certified yoga instructor and the founder of Manflow Yoga. He's widely considered to be an authority on yoga for men. He has worked with physical therapists to create yoga programs, back health, and spinal recovery for that. His workouts and programs have been used by professional and collegiate athletes, athletic trainers, and personal trainers. He's wrote a book called, what's that book called? I just lost it.
Yoga Fitness for Men, and also Yoga for Athletes.
And then also a Body by Yoga DVD, right?
Yeah, got a whole series of those. Crushed it. Yeah, those are, we probably sold over 150,000 of those.
Let's go, my man. I mean, look, I love celebrating another success, man. I love celebrating. Like, there's so much stuff that's been put out, and then it doesn't get there, and people don't have the persistence to push it through. And congratulations on all that success, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so Dean, we start the show the same way every time. And by the way, this guy's been featured on Muscle and Fitness Magazine, Men's Health, Chicago Sun, New York Magazine, and then now here on the What Are You Made Of show. Dean, we start the show the same way every time, and that's with the question, what are you made of?
I'm made of my past experiences. I'm made of the mistakes or the shortcomings or the things that I chose not to do when I was younger, and the attempts that I've made to correct those as an adult, to take a deeper look into my past to better understand the insecurities and the things that are really driving me now, and to be aware of my current goals, the desires that I have for the future, in shaping the life that I want to live, and also in the mission that I have with what I do to help other people with improving their lives, both physically and from a mental and emotional perspective as well.
Love it, man. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a prayer. Sound like something that you say every morning. Like, it really does. Like, I go through this thing like that too. It's like, so it just reminded me of that. And I have no filter, so whatever comes to my mind, I'll say, Dean, you know.
I love it. I started maybe a month ago. Actually, this happened when my dog passed away at the end of July. And he was one of those fantastic dogs who's really emotionally in tune. And he started with me as a 24-year-old, you know, kid out of college, to being the 34-year-old dad and married man that I am today. And when he passed away, I decided that every night I was going to go out and I was going to talk to him. And that was kind of my first consistent experience of going out and trying to have a relationship with something beyond the physical, you know, of actually going out. And yeah, it was prayer in a way. It wasn't denominational, but it was prayer. It was connection with the universe. And then I slowly transitioned that into me having a conversation with the universe. So now every night I go out and I talk about things that I'm grateful for. I talk about my struggles and I ask for help with the things that I need help with. So yeah, if it sounded like a prayer, that's because I've been practicing.
I can tell. That's awesome, dude. I love it. I love it. And yeah. How come you do it at night versus in the morning, or do you do it in the morning too?
I just find the space better at night. I think in the morning I'm really, you know, I'm kind of stressed thinking about what I have to do that day. I'm with my kids until 9 o'clock in the morning when I drop them off at my son is 3, so I'll drop him off at daycare around then. So I don't have a ton of time in the morning. I get back and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of straight into things, or straight into my stretching or my cold plunging or going for a walk. So there's just not a lot of time in the morning for me to do that. But I find that if I can do it before I go to bed and kind of let the chatter in my head die down before I go to sleep, then I can sleep really well. Keeps me grounded, keeps me focused. So it's worked for me.
Dude, that's something, man. And you know what? It's actually pretty good to do it at night, because you're going into this, you know, sleep, right? And then your subconscious can work on the stuff you were talking about. So, no, I love it. And by the way, how many kids do you have?
I have two. I have a 3-year-old boy, and I have a seventh month old girl.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Declan and Maylee.
I smile because, I mean, I remember those days, and I remember the 2 and 3 year olds. They just, you go somewhere and you're chasing them everywhere, and you know, and you think about possibly putting that monkey thing on that has a leash on it to keep them from running away. And I don't know, because sometimes I don't like the idea of that, but then I like, when they keep running away, it's just like, all right, man, we got to figure something out here.
You see the practicality of it really quickly. Yeah.
My kids have grown so fast, bro. My son's 17. He's 6'2", 240, football player. And then my daughter is 11, and it goes by so fast, man. We talked about in the green room before the show about emotions and, you know, your podcast, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
And we talk about emotions, and I'll tell you, like, it really hits me sometimes to see my son as big as he is and remember the little boy. And I think it's gradual. So that we don't miss that little boy. If they turn into a big kid all of a sudden, a big man all of a sudden,
yeah,
I think it would be like a death in a way. But then it hits you sometimes like it is a death, because like that little kid. So, man, just embrace that. Try to. I know you're, you know, filled with gratitude and all that, but I mean, just be hyper aware, because it is fleeting. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And the more that I'm doing, you know, a lot of my personal work, you know, my stuff outside of what I do with physical fitness, the more I'm realizing that the work that I'm doing, the personal work that I'm doing to try and address, you know, what did I not get as a kid, and what are the insecurities that are driving me now, they are related to my relationship with the child version of myself. And when I think about them more deeply, I realize that my interactions with my son are my opportunity to make it so that he doesn't have to go to those same struggles that I had to. So it's really, when you think about it, it makes you really frustrated when you lose your temper with your son and you do things that you don't want to do. And you're like, crap, I'm setting him up for the same stuff that I have to go, that I'm going through now, if I don't do this the right way. And it's challenging, because you're doing all these things, you know, you're successful. I would like to consider myself successful. And it's really hard to remember that the reason why we're trying to be successful is ultimately because we want to have these great connections with our family, with our kids, and we want to have a great relationship with ourself, where we feel self-love, where we feel accepted and secure, both with our community and with ourselves. And when you're in the focusing on work during the day, it's really hard to forget, like, oh, I'm doing this because I want to have these connections, because I want to have these, you know, feel secure. I want to feel loved. So it's tough keeping that in, keeping that in focus.
Yeah, man. Well, I think also that, you know, one of the things I've been doing a lot over the last couple of years is I start talking about the way I want it to be. Mm-hmm. So I used to say things like, it's hard, man. It's difficult. It's tough, you know, and I catch myself now and I'm like, no, this isn't that, you know, and maybe it is, it's a situation where you're not telling the truth from what you experienced in the past, but I want to hear your thoughts on this, man. Like, what about creating creating the life you want and speaking about it as if it's happening right now, because of the fact that stop thinking about the past, stop living off of what you experienced in the past, because all your decisions a lot of times are, you know, shaped by the past, and then cause and create the future you want and start speaking about that through that versus the past.
I think for me, it's acknowledging that the past exists and that your feelings about the past exist, but then also recognizing that you have agency to create change in the future. So, and for me, I think that's where a lot of the message of men's improvement could be improved, because I think a lot of men's improvement goes straight to what can we do now? What are the habits? What can we fix now without acknowledging I've got some stuff that I haven't dealt with and I don't have the courage to deal with that. And maybe I haven't been in the right setting. Maybe I'm just not aware of that wound that never healed. And now I'm trying to build a life around it. I'm trying to self-improve without dealing with that one section. It's like you're trying to clean your house, but you have one room in the house where you're just like throwing crap. You're like, I'm just going to make the rest of the house really clean, but this is where I throw all the stuff that I don't want to deal with. And so until you deal with that, until you acknowledge it, I think it really makes, you know, improvement in the future difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Dean, what's your story, bro? Like, where did you come from? And where did some of the insecurities you've mentioned a couple of times, like word insecurity, where did some of that stuff come from? What have you been through?
I grew up in a very success oriented house. So, you know, good grades were rewarded. Extracurriculars were, you know, praised. Effort on the field, doing, you know, I did tons of stuff. I played lacrosse. I played soccer. I was in multiple choir groups. I played bass guitar for multiple jazz groups. So I was busy the entire day when I was a kid and through high school. And I was also in the weight room, you know, two hours every, you know, 3 days a week. I was like the, you know, the jack dude in the weight room who didn't follow the lifting program. And that's actually why I ended up creating Manful Yoga, because I had so many injuries and things to fix because I was following like bro lifting instead of like an actual lifting program. So I grew up in that hyper success oriented atmosphere. That's what I was rewarded for. And, you know, your emotional wellness just wasn't really something that was considered. And when I think about my childhood, I think about when I would watch TV or when I would play computer games, and I would do that in shame because it was not like this wasn't something that was leading to my success. This wasn't something that my parents were gonna come and say, "Oh, you're playing computer games. I love you so much." And my mom worked a lot. My dad was gone from, you know, 5 a.m. until 7:30 at night. He's a doctor. My mom, she's a lawyer, so she was gone from, you know, whatever until 6 o'clock. So I just kind of learned to really focus on my accomplishments and my success. And that got me to, you know, that got me to the place that I was in terms of having, you know, a successful YouTube channel and having a business and having a team and having, you know, these accolades like publishing books and, you know, DVDs and coming up with a line of yoga equipment and, you know, being able to live in, you know, the nice house that I live in now and, you know, having relative success to my age. But it also created this kind of void, because instead of addressing what I really wanted, which was to feel accepted, to feel secure, to feel like I was enough. For me, whenever I have conversations, when I go deep, what always comes up for me is this feeling of not being enough. Like I wasn't good enough to warrant attention when I was younger. And that's not to say that I didn't get attention ever. That's just to say that was what the little boy version of me experienced. And that is what needs healing if I am to kind of move forward to the next level in terms of being a more connected parent, in terms of being a more connected husband, and being more present. So for me, I kind of, that's my story. You know, I'm very success oriented. Physical fitness is a part of that. And right now, you know, I feel like I'm really going through some, in the last couple years, I feel like I've going through this evolutionary period for myself where I'm trying to look at my life and think, you know, how can I scale back in terms of my putting time and effort into my value of success and more into the ultimate desire, which is I want to walk home. For me, like my dream, my vision of success is me walking home, you know, after work or coming in and like my kids running up to me and saying, "Daddy's home, Daddy's home." And my wife looking at me and saying, like, "Oh, you're here. I'm so happy you're here." You know, like, yeah, for me, that's what success looks like. It's not, you know, I would love to have, you know, a $10 million business a year, but if I can come home and feel content and feel secure, and, you know, that's for me, that's what success looks like.
Yeah, dude. You know, I got to tell you something on that. So I love that. And sometimes I have that at my house in the 20 some years I've been married and with kids. Sometimes I have that. Sometimes it's like I walk in and I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" I have to yell to them. But
yeah.
But you know, I said something the other day to a friend and mentor of mine. And I said, you know, I just feel sometimes I feel I should be so much further along than I am. Like with ability that I know and the knowing that I know I have and things, I just feel like, you know, I see people that are further along and that's a comparison game, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
But I say that and then she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I feel like financially, the business, like I just feel like I should be, you know, further." Mm-hmm. And she said, "I don't want to ever hear you say that again." She said, "I sacrificed my family and I know I did for business success." And
yeah.
She sold an 8-figure business, maybe a multiple, I think multiple exits. But she said, "You did it differently. You built this foundation and now you're about to explode." And I was just like, man, that's a good perspective. Yeah. And I just never wanted to say that because I felt like I should do both. Mm-hmm. Right. It's this thought I had, I should do both of that.
Right.
But it's a different perspective to take. And, you know, it made me realize some things. So what you're saying, I mean, 100%. Now that doesn't let us off the hook. If we have potential to have a big business and have the great family, it doesn't take us off the hook, does it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's tough because, you know, I hate saying this phrase, but in this day and age, right, in the modern world that we're living in, it's so easy to compare. And the subconscious message that we take in about being a man is you have to be in great shape. You have to be attractive. You have to be successful. You have to be, you know, present with your family. You have to hit all of these markers in order to feel good about yourself. And it's tough. Like, I don't know how many guys out there are actually crushing it in every category and still have amazing relationships with their family. So, you know, I think it's very tough to get out of the comparison mode and into the, I'm going to start being appreciative of what I have. Like, can you be content with what you have now? Can you practice that? And then can you come to your business from a place of, I'm not doing this to prove myself. I'm doing this because I have a sincere desire in the mission of the business and because I feel fueled by coming to this every day. And I love what I do and I love who I'm working with. And it just so happens to be making a lot of money too. And so so personally for me, I've been able to get to where I am in my business now, you know, in terms of just really pushing myself. It's been like the grind mentality. And now I'm trying to do the opposite where I'm coming out of this like grind mentality and going to, how can I do less? Like, how can I maintain what I have now, but spend 90% less time working on it? And what can I put that other energy in? What happens when I free up that time and what's going to come up? So, but yeah, it's this weird, I feel like every entrepreneur somehow subconsciously understands that in order to be successful, you first have to kill yourself. And then once you have enough money, you can start going back and like fixing the carnage and the chaos that you've created along the way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll fix my relationship later, you know?
Yeah. And then the other thing is too, sometimes we just do stuff that doesn't really take us to the mission, towards the mission, but we do it to be busy in a way. And then that way we can say, well, if I don't get the success I expect, well, I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it gives us a way to live with it, like an explanation, a way to live with ourselves for not, you know, but, so you look, I got to talk about yoga here for a second. Cause I've done yoga and I stopped doing it. Like for some reason the pandemic happened and I just never went back. I don't know why. I love it. I went to this place and it's just a hot yoga. I don't know if that's what they call it or if there's another name for it. And man, like just, there's nothing like it. I got, matter of fact, because I'm having you on here, I'm going to go back next week. I'm going to go back to, I'm going to start going back because I lift, I do cardio, I stretch, but not like that, man. So how did, you know, to share with the audience, cause I've read about you, I know this, but How did you get into yoga, and then how did it stick with you?
I started yoga on complete accident as a collegiate lacrosse player. I was going to the gym. I needed to drop off some pants at the tailor before then. And I was looking for the tailor, couldn't find it, stumbled into a yoga studio instead. And I was like, I'm a lacrosse player. You know, is this going to help me? And they said, oh yeah, it's going to help with your flexibility, your core strength, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, ah, whatever. I look around at the class. I'm like, I can take these guys. And then I get in, and like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I'm dying. Just like sweating, just exhausted. I'm like, this is a workout I've never done before. Like, how am I? I'm in peak physical condition. Like when I work out with other people, I'm the guy who's like leading the sprints. I'm a workhorse. So like being in that environment, being humbled by that, I realized that I wasn't as strong as I thought. So I kept going back to that workout to get stronger, because I realized that, hey, if I'm struggling that much, there's so much opportunity here for me to get stronger. And after a few months, I realized that my body felt better. I felt smaller, but more powerful. So like I felt more efficient. I felt better about my recovery. I felt more aware of my body. I felt stronger in the weight room. And so I thought, this is cool. I'm going to bring some of my friends with me. And nobody wanted to come. So I invited like my lacrosse teammates. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do yoga. And keep in mind, I probably wouldn't have gone to that yoga class if I hadn't stumbled into it on accident. So this was 2011-ish. And at the time, yoga was still kind of a weird thing. It wasn't, you know, if you go to most cities now, most guys who live in cities will probably go to a yoga class at some point. Like they won't feel like it's weird. But at the time,
taboo.
Yeah. At the time, it was like, nah, guys don't go to yoga classes. Like it's just not. So I wanted to create a more welcoming environment for yoga that felt like that resonated better with guys like me. So I started putting out videos on YouTube, and I thought I'm going to get a bunch of like jack college dudes doing yoga with me. And what ended up happening was I was more so getting guys who were in their 50s, middle-aged guys who couldn't do other workouts, who couldn't lift or who couldn't do boot camp style classes because they, you know, had an extra 15 to 20 pounds on them, and they just didn't have the core strength and the body awareness and the flexibility to be able to functionally do those movements without getting injured or getting really, really achy and in pain after their workouts. So once I started interacting with my audience and started actually creating workouts for them, I realized, oh, like, so I'm going to help men be able to reclaim their physical capabilities to help them do what they physically want to and do for as long as they possibly can. And that's what Manful Yoga became. And that's essentially what it is now, and that's how it's grown, is from that idea of helping men to do what they physically want to do. And you know, from that has come, started off with mostly free content on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and then I made DVDs, partnered with a producer, made, I don't know, probably 12 or 13 DVDs, sold a ton of those on Amazon, started a members area, got book deals with Penguin, with DK Publishers, to write Yoga Fitness for Men, wrote Yoga for Athletes a couple years after that. And now I've probably had the privilege of helping, if I add them all up, maybe over 180,000 people through, you know, these different avenues. And what I'm trying to do for people is provide a more approachable approach. more approachable approach to yoga for men interested in their physical fitness, who want workouts that are tailored to men's flexibility levels and physical fitness goals, and who aren't as concerned with the kind of the Eastern mysticism elements of it. So the chakras, yeah. The chanting, that kind of stuff. So this is much more of a physical fitness, the flexibility, the body awareness, the breathing, the strength, the balance, the recovery. So it's just an approach that has really resonated with guys who are interested from a fitness perspective.
Did you ever start your own studios, like in your town?
I never started studios because I'm lazy and I don't like doing the same thing twice.
Yeah,
So that's why videos made sense to me, because I'm like, I can make it once, it'll live forever, and I can build something. I love building things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I love building plants. I love building. So be able to look at my app and see all these programs that I built and be able to direct people through like a system of programs, that makes me feel good.
Now, do you still go to some studio like locally once in a while?
I don't. You know, I don't. And I don't know why that is. I think the thing that, and this is good to recognize about most fitness professions, people are going to have different interests with their fitness. They're, you know, even if you lift weights, maybe you'll have this time where, you know, I'm not lifting as much, but I'm running more and that feels good to me. And then maybe you'll have another season where you're like, I'm really hitting it hard in the weight room right now and I love it. So for me, like I'll have periods where, you know, I'm really not that much into yoga right now. I do it 2 or 3 times a week and that's good. And then there's other times where I'm doing it every morning for, you know, 30 minutes and afternoon sessions and
I'm the same way. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Some days, man, like this summer, I mean, for as far as cardio goes, I lifted and then I just walked 8 miles a day.
Dude, you know, that's enormous. Walking's the best thing you can do, by the way.
Yeah. Well, now I'm stopping that because the weather's getting a little cooler here in Maryland. And now I'm on Stairmaster on a nice pace for an hour, watching some Netflix or watching some YouTube videos that are, you know, good for you or whatever, you know? Yeah. And so, but I just switch it up, you know, it's the same thing. And I think that's good because it keeps us interested. One thing I was going to say though, people can think what they want when I'm about to say this, but like there's something about like if I was in a hot yoga studio, I just wouldn't want to be with a bunch of sweaty dudes. It had to be like mostly women just because it's not because I want to like for scenery. I'm not talking about that. This just feels to me like gross bunch of dudes sweating in the same like a sweat box, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought that had to be said. So I understand why you don't go to a studio and do yoga flow men or man flow yoga in a live in person place. So I get it.
We have done some. So I actually just wrapped up a retreat, which was more focused on, it had a yoga component, but it was more focused on overall wellness. But I do some stuff, but very limited, like a couple times a year.
Yeah, gotcha. And now how about the spirituality part of yoga? Have you gotten involved with that part of it? And then, you know, does it have to be a part of yoga to do it correctly and get the most out of it?
So I think I'm the only yoga brand who's like definitively, this is a non-spiritual brand. So the reason for that is because it didn't resonate with me when I was, and the reason for that is because I come from an athletic background. So for me, working out is working out. Working out is training. Yeah. It's physical. It's improving your physical capabilities. So when I got into a yoga studio, and the talk changed to, we're going to try and connect with your inner self today. I'm like, what? Dude, I'm here. Like, I need to work on my hip flexibility, like my back. Like, I want to get deeper in squats. I want to get stronger at squats. I want to make sure that my back stays healthy. And so the whole spiritual talk just didn't resonate with me at all. And so then I started making videos and I eventually stopped saying namaste at the end of the things. And I, you know, things that are like considered absolutely essential for yoga classes, I just stopped doing it because it didn't resonate with me. So I have a spiritual practice outside of yoga, but my yoga workouts are, they do not include any religious elements. I think you can use yoga, you can use the breathing, you can use the body awareness to tap into a higher sense of spirituality. Mm-hmm. But for me, that feeling is also one of just clearing your head and just feeling peace and feeling, you know, so there are some workouts that I'll do with yoga where it's like, no, we're trying to build strength. We're really working on physical fitness here. But then there could be other sessions where I'm like, I'm stressed or I'm just trying to create a sense of calm and focus for the day ahead. So it looks different. So as far as a spiritual question, I don't integrate the spiritual into what I do with Manful Yoga. But, you know, it does put you in a space where you are better able to access spirituality. The irony of that is that I've had people say that they are better able to access spirituality with Manful Yoga compared to other yoga workouts, because instead of talking about access to spirituality, I'm actually guiding you into a place where you can access it by focusing on body awareness and focusing on breath.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the yoga police hasn't come like hunt you down and stuff.
Dude, Yoga Alliance has not contacted me yet and said, we're revoking your certification. So I just keep on paying my annual membership and they haven't.
That's good.
They haven't yet.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, what there is nothing like after a good session of yoga, just laying there on your back in the dark and just laying there and relaxing and feel like you really do feel like everything that you just worked. It's amazing. I miss that. I'm glad we have this conversation because I'm going to go back to it now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned something about pulling back a little bit, getting things done, still getting things done, but less time, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like though? What's the vision? Like if I could snap my fingers and make it happen, what does it look like? Paint that picture for me.
So for me, it's being aware of what I'm doing on a daily basis and then looking back at that and questioning whether is that something that can be delegated? Is that something that is helpful to the business? Is it proportionate to, is the effort proportionate to the results? Is it something that I enjoy doing? Does it give me energy or does it weigh me down? So it's being very aware about what I'm doing on a daily basis and getting very clear on what's, I don't like using buzzwords because they have no meaning, but what's serving me and what is not serving me. Mm-hmm. So it's just getting very clear on that and trying to put it into action.
Yeah. I mean, my studies in performance and becoming a performance expert, I mean, that's assessment, right? Mm-hmm. And the more you can assess, you know, that leads to elevation. So yeah, you're on the right track. And that happens. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be doing that in their family, their relationships, their business. I call it looking at, I just put a post up about this week about it. Assets versus liabilities, you know, and assessing that. And if you look at it, obviously assets are something that pays you and liabilities are something that takes from you. So I'm the kind of guy, Dean, that likes to make things simple because, like, you know, just complicated doesn't work for me. And
the more clarity you have, the easier it is.
Yeah.
Like from that standpoint alone, clarity is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, man, I respect your time and I want to make sure we wrap this up in a timely fashion. Dean, where's the best place for people to go engage with you and go deeper?
Check me out on YouTube, man. YouTube.com/manfulyoga. I'm on all socials. And then if you want to try out a free 7-day challenge, see what makes yoga for men and a fitness-centric, non-spiritual approach, manfulyoga.com/7DC.
The best way, guys, I mean, our best thing about this is, guys, it doesn't take a bunch of equipment. You can do this right in your home. You can do this in your driveway. You can do this in your bedroom. You can do whatever you need. Like, just it's simple. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. Dean, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me.
Great to connect. Hang tight for a second. Guys, thank you for being here. Keep coming back. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Tell your friends about us. We're going to continue to bring you great guests here on the What Are You Made Of show, live from That One Studios. Until next time, be that one. I wish I was-